This is Uncle Kip's greatest hits. Welcome back, listeners. We're live with Brett Henderson right now, who's on the front lines in Vietnam. Brett, are you there?
Yes, Kip, I can hear you.
Can you tell us what's going on over there? What are you seeing?
Today's scene is chaos, utter chaos. I've seen limbs chopped off, bodies everywhere, children in the streets crying for their mothers.
Little does Brett know right now, but it's Uncle Kip's
Friday morning Varda fun!
What he doesn't know is the whole time during his report, we're going to be playing some of our funniest fart noises for you. Brett, are you still with us? Tell us more about what's going on over there.
Well, Kip, in the last few days, the U.S. Army's tried to make an offensive on the North Vietnamese. At the moment, we're at the base of Hill 528, watching one military supplier helplessly run up the hill, only to be gunned down each and every time.
Brett, how's morale? How are the troops doing today?
Well, Kip, I saw one man, head in his hands, crying, lost his three best friends, only person to make it out of the hole that he was in alive. He said he saw terrible things, things that this reporter can really only imagine.
And have you seen many civilian casualties?
Kip, some of the worst parts is the children, heads blown off, mothers holding their babies, burnt to crisp.
How much longer until you think our troops see some movement on the front lines? Is there talk of retreat? Is there talk of pushing the attack forward? What are you seeing?
Well, Kip, right now, all these kids want to do is get home. They've seen some things. I've seen some things. We're all never going to be the same.
And I know a lot of these kids over there, they don't want to be there. Can you tell us a little bit about that? Have you had the chance to talk to any of the soldiers about what it was like being drafted?
Kip, the consensus is no one wants to be here. This is a dirty war. It's too bloody. We're in over our heads. Again, all these kids want to do is just get home.
Brett, thanks so much. I hope you stay safe out there, and I hope to see you back in the studio real soon. Thanks so much for your report.
What was that, Kip? I'm sorry. They're cutting me.
That was Brett Henderson, live from the front lines in Vietnam.
This is Uncle Kip.
We're in the studio now with Hedley Jensen, a local inventor who's got some big stuff to share with us.
That's right, Kip. Thank you so much for having me on the show. Big fan. Big fan.
Hedley, what are some of your latest inventions? What do you have for us today?
Well, Kip, I've been working on this one for a while, and I finally got the patent back, hopefully. See, if you're like me, you don't want to tell your dog what to do. You don't want to just have to be yelling at it all the time. You don't want to have to tell it exactly where to go, where to pee, where to poo. Can I say poo?
Your poo's all right, yeah.
You don't want to have to do those kind of things. So I've invented, it's essentially a long piece of rope that you attach to your dog's collar, and it allows it to lead you around your house, outside, around the block. You go for a run, you let the dog go in front of you. It literally tells you where it needs to go.
So this is a piece of rope you tie to your dog, and you tie to yourself, or you hold?
Normally you'll just hold it. I'm still working on the, working with my engineers on this one, but there's a loop at the end that you could even put your hand through.
Now, Hedley, I gotta ask, what is the difference between what you're describing and a leash, which is, for any listeners out there who don't know, a very similar sounding product. It's just, well, a piece of rope that attaches to your dog that you hold. What is the main difference here?
I'm not familiar with, what is leash?
It's called a leash, and it's very similar. I mean, you said you did hear back from the patent you turned in?
Hopefully, yeah.
Oh, you haven't heard back yet. Okay.
We're hopeful.
And, okay, so what have you been doing with your dog so far? I mean, you were saying you don't want to have to tell a dog what to do. I think we all know how hard training a dog can be.
Well, Kip, if you're like me, you're sitting around with your dogs, maybe sitting on the couch next to you, and you hear, meow, meow. And you're like, oh, gotta take you out now.
And you're saying meow, meow. Tell me a little bit about your dog. What is this?
Well, small, you know, pointy ears, really cuddly, purrs a lot. You know what? You're familiar with purring?
I do know what purring meowing is, but it sounds to me what you're describing is a cat.
Not familiar.
I see. So, Headley, can you tell me a little bit about, what is your day job?
You know, I gotta be honest, Kip, day job, I'm not. Are you talking about the thing that you go to every day and you usually spend about 40 hours a week?
That's right, the old 9 to 5.
Oh, my 9 to 5.
9 a.m. to 5 p.m. is a traditional time for people to go into work. But I'm wondering, I mean, it sounds like you must really love animals. Do you work with animals usually, or?
Kip, I gotta tell you, I'm not following, what's this? You keep using this word. Time? I know that, you know, right now we're talking and that was later, but I'm not following that one either.
Well, it sounds like we're going to have to kick it back over to some music, because I believe Headley is having an existential crisis. We'll catch you after the music break.
This is Uncle Kip.
KIPP has always been dedicated to bringing you the most up-to-date, live, breaking news coverage. And in light of today's tragic events with the Challenger shuttle, we're going to go straight to our reporter on the scene, Dan Flick. Dan?
Kip, I'm coming to you live from sunny Florida at the Kennedy Space Center, where we had one heck of a show today.
Yes, Dan, I understand that it was quite a thing to see. Can you tell us a little bit more about it?
Kip, I got to tell you, first of all, my first launch. And what a spectacular one to start with. The flames from the launch, 2 miles away. I could feel the heat.
And Dane, what about the explosion?
Yeah, I just said it was, those rockets go off. It is something to behold.
When did you first realize something was wrong?
Other than the occasional hiccup, it seems that everything's working great. That's normal. That's something you know, I've talked to many space experts. They say that that's something to kind of expect, but all the systems now appear to be functioning quite nominally.
Now, Dane, you do understand that the shuttle exploded.
Well, I mean, there's going to be a little bit of an explosion, you know, when it takes off, of course.
Now, I want to apologize to all the listeners out there, but Dane, you do realize that these astronauts are dead.
Dead tired? I mean, they've been training for years for this.
No, I don't think you understand. And again, I want to apologize to all the listeners out there. Dan, I just want to clarify, did you actually see this shuttle launch?
Well, I did run into a buddy from college. We went to journalism school together at Ohio University. At the bar last night, one thing led to another. I kind of woke up in his room, and it was maybe about 10 a.m.
So, Dane, you're saying you didn't see the launch?
Kip, I've seen plenty of launches on TV. I mean, they're all the same. You've seen one, you've seen them all. Rocket goes up, everybody claps, and you're done.
Dane, you're telling me you slept through the biggest space disaster in American history?
Well, you know what they say. Down here in Florida, the heat doesn't kill you, the humidity will.